Okay, hello everyone. So this is our second group coaching session. And I believe today we are going to have time for two or three people. So I'm planning on Mandy and Deborah. So we could flip a coin as to see who goes first, perhaps. I normally have a little angel coin here. So here we go. Mandy, heads or angels or no angels? All right, Mandy, you're up.
Was it angel wings?
Yeah, I guess you said angel and angel is up. So, all right, Mandy, so what's going on? What could you use some coaching on?
So my thing is a continuation from last time.
Okay.
The last session that I was able to join in on. So I think it was last Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went ahead and scheduled my teaching audition.
Okay.
And then I've noticed since that I've been feeling this, I think it's just a pattern, like the unworthy pattern of what am I thinking? I'm not ready, or I'm not qualified, or so it's like I started with the time thing, worked through that, felt really good about that, and then turned it into something else.
Okay. So what are you afraid of?
I don't know if I even know what it is.
And this is all coming up when you think about doing the audition. Or is it coming up when you're thinking about, like, if you get it? Just curious.
If I get it.
So if you get it, then what?
Then I'm like, oh my gosh, because then I'm really in it and I'm figuring out classes and putting myself out there.
And then what? And then what comes up around that?
Fear, you know, what if I mess it up, or, you know, somebody paid for a class and then it didn't go great.
And how could that be perfect? Like, if you mess up, if you, you know, what's the worst that you're imagining here?
Silence. Because part of our teaching is that we just keep moving and we have a sense of humor about it.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by silence?
Silence in the class. Like everyone looking at me like, what is she doing? What is going on here?
Okay. So it sounds like what you're really afraid of is other people's perceptions of you. So your mind is creating a story about what other people's mind might be saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it kind of just sounds like your mind is creating a story and is getting into somebody else's story and creating some fictional story.
Yeah. I just made up this whole thing in my head.
Because even like when you said silence, my first thought was like, how could silence be wonderful?
Okay.
If you're in a yoga class, you're teaching a yoga class and there's silence, why would that be a bad thing?
It wouldn't be. It would just be a pause.
How could that be a wonderful thing?
More time for people to be in their own practice.
So even if people are having their thoughts about you, why is that a big deal?
It's not really.
Yeah, because some people, I mean, right? It's like, I'm sure that you may have had a yoga teacher who you were like, he or she is amazing. You might have a friend who's like, they're okay. Not my favorite, but you're like, no, they're amazing.
Yeah.
You're like, well, in my point of view, they're okay. Like, everybody's just going to have their own point of view, and even thinking like, isn't that a wonderful thing? That if you essentially allow them to have that, mm-hmm. that it's almost like you're celebrating like the diversity of opinions. Like, how does that sit with you?
I like that. I've experienced that. I have people that I gravitate toward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there will be, you know, even in the moment that maybe isn't the best, there would be people that still resonate with my approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that.
Okay, so now if you're teaching and sometimes there's silence, which is okay, or maybe even like, maybe wonderful, like, maybe it happens on accident, and then you're like, was it an accident, or was that like almost divine timing to have that moment of silence, right? Mm-hmm. And then you see some faces are totally in it and some aren't, you know? And now your mind is just kind of in this space of, this is wonderful. Everyone can come and have their experience. Mm-hmm. I love that everyone gets to have their opinion. Everyone gets to have their opinion of this class. So then what else is scary about it?
I feel like I relate it so much to my bigger dreams.
Okay.
That scares me a little. Yeah.
Sorry, say that again.
I feel like I relate it so much to my bigger dreams
mm-hmm.
that scares me a little.
Okay, so say more about how this is related to your bigger dreams.
So, what do you mean?
So you're related... my hunch is that you're feeling like if this comes to pass and you are a yoga teacher and you also have these other ventures that you were doing, mm-hmm. that it's basically you are creating your bigger dreams.
Right.
So it's a piece of the pie, and it's showing you the piece of the larger pie of your dreams.
Right.
And so my hunch is that, and as you kind of touched on it in the beginning, is that's what really freaks you out, is you actually having the whole pie.
Yeah.
And having your dreams be reality, because you're afraid that you don't deserve to have it all. Is that it?
I don't get it. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just attachment.
Attachment to what?
To it. To the dreams.
Like being afraid of them not coming true?
Yeah. Like, I think more like afraid of the unknown. Like the how will this work, or what will this be like, and figuring it all out. Because I don't really doubt them. It's more like just a lot of unknown.
Okay, I hear that. But I also get the sense that what you're describing. So I feel like there's the unknown. Mm-hmm. And then you said, how will this all work? Which to me sounds kind of like logistics. Tell mm-hmm. me where I'm wrong.
Totally right.
So you're thinking about like your work, time, all of that kind of stuff.
And
family.
All the steps of starting businesses and.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, moving away from other things. Yeah.
Which feels worse? Is it that? Is it the unknown of those types of logistics? And when I say worse, like it could be scary worse. It could be like variety of feelings in this. Maybe I should say, which feels heavier? The unknown of the logistics of it? Or is it the, or is there a part of you that is asking, do I deserve to have all of this?
That's it.
Do you feel like it's, you're seeing your dreams come to be and now it's making that part of you, it's triggering that part of you and it's freaking out. What if I actually have all of my dreams come to be? Am I going to be able to handle it? Do I deserve it? Am I worthy?
Yep.
Yeah. And it sounds like that voice in your head is essentially, maybe it's showing itself as a question, but it seems like there is a belief in there of, I'm not worthy. Tell me where I'm wrong.
That's it.
Is it even like I'm not worthy of having all of my dreams?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where do you feel that feeling of not worthiness, when we kind of like that feeling arises, where do you feel it in your body?
It's my heart.
And what does it feel like?
Heavy.
Okay. If you were to describe it, like if you could look inside your body and see this heavy heart, what does it look like?
What does it look like?
Yeah, like if does it have a color? Is it big? Is it tiny? Is it prickly? Is it smooth? What does it look like?
I think it's just big and it's dark. It doesn't feel light. Like the light isn't there.
How long do you feel like this big, dark, heavy space has been hanging around in your heart? Does it feel like it's new or does it feel like it's old?
So old. Yeah. Super old. Like, I don't know another way.
So in a way, it's even, like, familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. The old naggy friend that's not really a friend.
The old what friend?
Naggy.
Nagging friend that's not really a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's do just a little exercise to have you just kind of connect to this space in your heart.
Okay.
Does that sound okay with you?
Okay.
So what I invite you to do is to just close your eyes and just take a few breaths, just so that you're connecting to your breath, just moving into your body and connecting with your breath, just noticing how your breath is right now, and then see if you can just gently elongate your breath. And now, focusing your attention on that space in your body, the heart, that feels big and heavy and dark. Seeing if you can picture it as if you're able to view inside your body right now and see that space. And this space inside your body is like a scared child. Like a little girl who's really freaked out. And what she needs from you is to be like the loving mom. What would you say, or whatever you would say to your daughter when she's scared, say to that part of your heart? What would you say to her if she felt like she was unworthy? Say it to that part of your heart. And what would you say to her if she felt like maybe she didn't deserve her dreams? And say it to that part of your heart. And if she was afraid of really letting herself fully live and experience everything that she wanted to experience in this life, think of what you would say to her and say it to your heart. And just notice if there's any changes in how you physically feel and how that space might look or how it might feel in your body as you speak these words to your heart.
The energy lifted.
Do you still feel it the same in your body, or does it feel differently?
It feels different.
And what did you say? What did you say to your heart?
I'll cry.
Okay. Tears are a good thing. They're release. Truthfully, it's tears are a release of resistance. So it's like, Let's allow that releasing.
It's so amazing to even just think about. It was so easy to communicate with my daughter the things that I need to tell myself. That if it's like to my daughter, it just flows out like thoughtless, pure love. So I said that you are so worthy. You are part of God. And, you know, the part about being worthy of my dreams, I said, your dreams are God's dreams or the universe. It's not just mine. And you'll be amazing and you cannot fail. Just live fully you. That's why you're here.
And how does your heart feel right now?
Love. Loving. Ready? Yeah. Ready.
That part of you, you know, that's been around for so long, that fears that she's unworthy. It's kind of like your little girl self.
Yeah.
Needing the mom of you.
Yeah.
Like you to mother you.
Definitely.
So how can you remind yourself of these messages? So that if you start to feel that like twinge in your heart again, or start to feel some fear again, how can you remind yourself of these messages, these powerful messages?
I'll write them on note cards and carry them with me.
I mean, that's brilliant.
I have a notebook that I keep, you know, basically sacred things, and I keep it with me all the time, and this is going in it.
Can you read them again? Because you wrote them down, right?
I did. Okay. You are so worthy. You are part of God. Girl, your dreams are God's dreams. You'll be amazing. You cannot fail. Live fully you. That's why you are here.
I just got this image in my head, you know, and I don't know if it'll resonate with you at all, but I got this image in my head of, you know, how people will have like signs in their home of almost like the family rules or whatever, of almost having a sign that says all of those things.
Totally.
So it's almost like you walk in your home and it's like, you are worthy.
I love that.
You know, we're almost thinking like if you were to like put it like big, bold words that you would see regularly.
Frame it.
Frame it. Yeah. And even like, you know, put it in your daughter's room too, of girls are worthy of your dreams, things like that. But not to say that it's just for her, like it's for, you know, everyone, for you and for everyone.
I love that. House rules.
Yeah. I also had, let me see if I can find it, because I thought that I found a pretty good quote recently on, oh yes, I loved this. And I was like, I'm going to find a place to use this. And then we were talking about failure. I'm like, maybe this is place number one. Failure is often nothing more than good luck in disguise.
It's so true.
Yeah. So it's like if you do something quote unquote wrong, or if your mind wants to tell you that you failed at something, or that, you know, and even if you're expecting something to go a certain way, you're like, yes, I'm following my dreams, it's all working out, and then it doesn't, and you're like, it feels like a total failure. Like, remind yourself of this, like, this is rigged in my favor. It's not like God has forgotten your goals and dreams and all of this. It's not like the universe suddenly didn't have your back. It's like, this is rigged in your favor. This is good luck in disguise.
Love that.
So going forward, you have an audition coming up, right?
I do.
How are you feeling about it now?
Ready.
Yeah.
Ready.
So going forward, your practices, you're going to have this on note cards and keep them with you, like looking at these. And if you ever feel like the twinge in your heart to go back to these messages, and you can also always go back to the exercise that we did of thinking of like, what would you tell your daughter? And it could be, even if your daughter is scared right now as a 3-year-old, right? Like, what would you tell the scared 3-year-old? Or sometimes it could be even helpful to imagine like, she's 30 and she's going after her dreams and she's freaking out. What would you tell her? And then those are the things to tell yourself, because you said they were just like pure. They just came flooding out. That's exactly what the universe is trying to communicate with you. It's just easier to do it by you imagining you telling your daughter.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good stuff. And you can keep us posted. When's the audition?
It's at the end of the month.
Okay.
I have two meetings. I have, so the other part of my bigger dream is my business that's product-based. So I have a meeting for that next Friday, and then the audition 2 weeks later.
Oh, wow. Lots of stuff.
Same, with the 17th studio.
Like the 17th and the 28th?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Good. Well, you can always let us know how it goes, and just, you know, remember that you have, I feel like I can speak for the, safely speak for the group here of like, you have a group supporting you.
Like, thank you.
No, we're not in person. Like, we all are supporting you and cheering you on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so exciting. Okay, Deborah, did you want to chat? And I'm not going to force anybody to, just heads up. If you're like...
I would love to. Just before we talk about that, Mandy, you were so eloquent when you said, you know, those things that you were going to write down in your book. It was beautiful. And it really reminded me of... You know, the thing about Marianne Williamson, that, you know, don't hide your light kind of thing, that originally maybe came from Nelson Mandela, and that beautiful thing about who are you not to be the grace and power that you are. And it had that energy. So, you know, that was just a wow, really. And also, if you turned up as my yoga teacher, I would be so delighted, because you have such great energy and wisdom, and you are doing the work for yourself, which then comes through to be able to give to other people. So I would be just over the moon, and I'm sure lots of other people will be too.
Yeah, I'd kind of like to second that too.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you.
So much of, I don't go to yoga just because I want to move my body in a certain way. And that I think that if I were to go to a class and you were leading it, and you were leading it from your heart and leading it from the place that... From the space of your dreams, like that heart of you were pursuing your dreams and doing this, that would feel like the reason that I came, like everything else would be cherry on top kind of thing. Yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you. I have to write that down. From the space of my dreams.
Yeah. You're leading from this, you're leading with heart, you're leading from the place of your dreams and following your dreams. And if you just show up with that energy, that would be amazing.
Also, it links with what we were talking about on Wednesday about presence. So just, you know, being really present in it.
Present.
Yeah. Did you happen to see the video that I posted of the energy thing that we did with my daughter? Deborah's nodding. The only reason why I bring that up is because you were talking, and I do just think this is so interesting, because I hear this probably almost every time that I do body work with people, is when you said that the energy was so heavy. And then when you changed that, it became so light. And the whole thing with my daughter is that we were talking about, like, quick story was that I had her think of something that really made her mad, and we tried to lift her, like, with one finger basically underneath an armpit, I had one armpit, my husband had the other armpit, and like you couldn't lift her. She was so heavy. And then had her think of all of the things that made her filled with joy. And then she just like floated up above our head, like so light, like just floating. And it's a density of energy. So that was just another something that came to my mind when you were speaking, is that how heavy your heart is when you were in that space and how light your heart became. I have to close my window really quick. I'm sorry. I have the window open and now there's yard people. Just a second. Okay. A little noisy, but it's all right. Okay. You'll have to check it out and tell me what you think. What did you think, Deborah?
I thought it was really fun. I'm going to talk to my daughter about it this weekend to see if she wants to give it a try.
So fun, you guys. Okay, so Deborah, you want to talk about some of the things that you sent me in email?
Yes, please.
Okay, I'm pulling it up here. I had it printed out. So I think the main thing that caught my attention, you can tell me what's the priority for you, was a bit about when you were talking about the book coach and then kind of talking yourself out of being a book coach. And that was one thing. And then the advice that you got from the business coach. So I'll let you tell me where you would like to begin. What feels almost the most challenging right now?
I think that there are different dreams. So there's different dreams and there's what's going to happen with them, which is fantastic to have different dreams. You know, it's square two stuff, I'm realizing, dreaming and scheming. So it's got, there's the thing about the singing and where that's going to take me and doing my grade five next month and working towards it and singing each day and learning the music theory for it. And then thinking about the 17-year-old me, that if she'd had the encouragement and help, you know, what could have been possible for her? Would that have meant going to music college and studying singing and opera singing at a higher level? And if I only have one life and I missed out on it when I was 17, can I manage to squidge it in and now that I'm in my 40s, which is some time later? And then there's the longing I've had ever since I read Little Women, and Joe was the writer and wanted to be Joe and read loads of books. And then, you know, cut that off as not a realistic option. And yet I've touched back in and it, you know, my degree was English literature. I did a degree in creative writing after that. The writing that I've done for my own business, the copywriting even a little bit is kind of touching back into the writing. I stopped myself for years reading fiction and all I've read is self-help books, so allowing myself to read fiction again. And just the kind of thing of you get one life, and at the end of my life, if I'd known that I'd written a novel and had a good go at getting it published, that would feel better than not having done that. When I left teaching, I was doing the artist's way. I wrote two books, one a children's book and one which was like a chick lit book, a bit cross with self-help. And I sent out the first draft of one to somebody who reviewed stories. And the first draft, and I sent out the first draft to loads of publishers, and it was widely rejected. And you don't send out a first draft of a book. You know, you work on it again. I just was so optimistic about it that I sent out my first draft. And so they were sent back. And I think I shredded both of the books, or, you know, I just got rid of them. And I don't feel really bad about that, because I think they probably helped me to be a writer, and they probably helped me to learn to cope with rejection. Mm-hmm. And I think learning to cope with rejection has kept me coaching for 6 years, you know, that when people say know that they don't have enough money or it's not the right time, I don't make it about me. I just make it, you know, that that's their decision and where they are. So I learned about rejection. I learned a bit about writing. So there's that. And then there's the coaching practice. And I know I'm a good coach. I know that I help people and people have told me that I help them. I've got the work for the company in America. That is business mindset coaching, but a lot of it is just logistical. You know, it's like where they are in the program and their half hour sessions. They're only kind of really laser coaching. It's mm-hmm. what an industry thing that they call it is. It's pretty quick. You can't really go as deep as you can with a longer time period. It's different coaching. It's not Martha Beck coaching. It's just, you know, helping them get through the program really. So there's that. Then my own business, which at the moment I'm selling slow coaching, which is, are you the swan above the water when beneath the water your feet are flapping like mad mm-hmm. and you want to be able to kind of just become more of yourself again mm-hmm. and tune in and slow down and look at what's important to you? Because when I was teaching, I think I definitely was the swan with the feet going crazy, paddling to keep up. And then I've got the copy side of things, and up to Christmas, I had about 3 months where I had loads of money coming in because of my copywriting. A lot of my income last year was from the copywriting. And then it just, all the copywriting went, you know, for different reasons. The funnel creator got a full-time person to work for him in America, and the other coach didn't have as much money coming in as she thought she would, and so she decided not to work with me. So I had this huge amount of work. I also had a coaching school in America asked me to write a piece for them about life coaching, and I wrote them, I think it was about 10,000 word piece, mm-hmm. Which they were really happy with, and I got paid well for it. And then the writing work just went. So I've got this thing that I know I can do writing for coaches and self-development type writing. And the business coach said to me today that my business was confusing for people because there were two things, the coaching and the copy, and it would be better just to do the copywriting for coaches from an experienced coach. So my point of differentiation being that I was an experienced coach. But when I pick one thing, it just makes me feel limited. And I also realize that I've probably got, I don't know whether I've got too many dreams to make headway on all of them. So developing the coaching practice, developing the copywriting, becoming, you know, the singer that I want to be, and also becoming the writer that I want to be. And it just seems I've got all these beautiful plates that I want to spin, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure how to spin them, and I'm not sure how that looks within a week. And I don't know how it's going to change, because at the moment the amount of work that I have from the coach in America, it's a small amount of work. That might ramp up. So at the moment I've got more kind of spare time, you know, or time that I can use as I wish to do any of the things I've talked about. But I don't know if that's going to change in the future.
Okay.
So
what would be ideal? Like, would you want to divide up your time equally among these things? Would that be ideal? Or would it be like, ideal would be that you spend most of your time in these two things and then the other time in this? Or do you have a sense of what would be ideal of where you're kind of putting some of your time, your space?
The ideal when I left, this isn't the full answer, but the ideal when I left teaching was to become a writer. Mm-hmm. And that was the dream. And when that didn't work out, that's what led to the coaching. But I don't know if that's the ideal now. I think the ideal is to be successful in something and to really enjoy it. And I don't know which one of those it can come from.
So are you believing that you can't have them all?
I am believing that I can't have them all.
Okay. And when you believe that, how does it feel?
Disappointing. Yeah.
Okay. So if we were to just try on for a second that you can have it all, and that this is really, it's a normal expectation to believe that you could be a singer, a writer, a coach, you can have it all. Are you able to try that on even just for a second to see how that feels?
Okay. It feels uncertain because I don't know whether I'm kidding myself that my voice has that potential or my writing has that potential or that my coaching has that potential or that my copywriting has that potential. I don't know whether I'm just kidding myself.
You know, I'll just share the first thing that came to my mind because I can't help it, is that I think that you're kidding yourself by believing that you can't be that good at all of those things. And it was so loud in my head. And I'm like, I think I just have to share this. It was like I was channeling it. You're kidding yourself by believing that you can't be that good at each one of them. But I think that it's also like, so when you think about singing, like, what is it that you're wanting out of? You talked about going to university for it, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you want out of that? Is it the experience of?
Yeah, I just think it would be a blast. I just think, you know, you'd be with all these people who love singing and love music and you'd be progressing and you'd be creatively expressing yourself. Yeah, I just think it'd be fun.
Okay. And so your question around, like, what your mind is questioning around that is whether or not you'd be good enough to get in? Is that the question?
Yeah, that. And also, I wonder whether there's part of me that makes the bar even higher, which I'm trying not to notice, but it's maybe there.
Okay, say more about that. What does that mean? Like, you're making the bar higher for yourself beyond?
Yeah, I think there's maybe part of me would want to be a really hugely successful singer.
Okay, and why do you want that?
Okay, so I'm looking on my board and the word that I see on my board in front of me is I am worthy. Worthy. It's worthiness.
Are you wanting to feel, if you became a hugely successful singer, is it that then you would feel worthy?
So part of me knows that the reality of it wouldn't suit me. So I wouldn't like being the center of all that attention. I wouldn't like all the media stuff. It wouldn't feel worthy. It would feel intrusive.
Well, see, and those seem like different things to me because it's like you're bringing the worthiness piece in here, but then what I hear is almost like you were saying, oh, there would be kind of the lack of privacy. You would feel a little intrusive. I'm not really sure if I would even want that lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were saying that, it didn't sound as though you were unworthy of it, but just not quite sure if you would care for it.
Yes.
And those are two very different mindsets and vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
Because you might believe, well, I'm completely worthy of being really famous and well-known and a highly mm-hmm. successful singer. Mm-hmm. Worthy of that. I'm not sure if I would want to not be able to go out in public anymore.
Yeah.
Not sure if I would want to sign up for that.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. Well, so, and that again is kind of like different things, because there's singers who sing and are, you know, it could be really financially successful or really known within certain circles of music, but they can go to the grocery store and most people don't know who they are.
Yeah. And especially, you know, within, my voice is operatic and it's not like everybody knows all the opera singers, you know, that kind of thing where it would only be certain people that would. I think that it would be really fun. And I think it'd be really fun to see where I could get to and where it would take me. I know that in the past, I've been really affected by grades and things. And my first degree that I did, my master's, I didn't get the grade in it that I thought I would. And it really affected me for years, so much so that I did a second degree, my creative writing and art history degree, so I could get a degree with the higher grade to make myself feel better. So I did a whole degree just to get the grade that I felt I needed to feel worthy. Mm-hmm. And I know that I don't know that. I'm concerned that if in this singing exam I don't get a distinction, that then I will drop the singing when I love the singing. So I need to make it okay that whatever grade I get in this singing exam, that I can carry on singing.
Yeah.
I think that would be really helpful.
Yeah. Okay. So that all kind of makes sense then, because what it sounds like what you're really doing, you have two sides of you operating right now. And you have one side of you that is basically the one who is following her passions, her dreams.
Yeah, and just loves it. And then there's the ego that's saying, but it only counts if you get this grade in the exam. And you can only continue with it if you get this grade in the exam.
And the moment that comes in, it slams the brakes on it.
Yeah.
It slams the brakes on it coming to you. And it essentially tells you, you have to hustle for your own worthiness.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make the grade literally. Mm-hmm. You have to work extra hard at all of these other things. And it's also telling you a story of like, you can't do all of these things. Who are you to believe that you could accomplish all of these dreams?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just kind of going on and on. And mm-hmm. so it's kind of like you're going full steam ahead with love, and then picture that it's like the ego just slams the brakes on.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the reason why you have all of these things calling to you is that they're in your vortex.
Mm-hmm. Like
that's how you know about them. They're flowing to you.
Mm. I do think, yeah, that's part of it. I was thinking about this today and I was thinking, these things are all coming up because I'm allowing the space for them to come up. I think that doing the work that we're doing together in this course is part of what is allowing this to bubble up, because I wasn't making space for these things to bubble up now. And I really think it's the work that I've been doing and the work that we're doing that is causing these things to start just waving at me and saying, you know, you've been wanting to do this for a while and you've ignored me and it's time to stop ignoring me.
That makes perfect sense too, because the other thing is that you're talking about these things that have, you know, they're enjoyable. You said that you love it. And that's part of why we've been having you play, is to get mm-hmm. you through with that feeling of just following what feels like bliss, following what feels like fun, being playful. And so you're experiencing some of that energy, some of that vibration. So you're attracting more of that.
Tons more. Yeah.
So you're attracting ideas that are in alignment with that.
Yeah. So tomorrow I'm going to open morning at a university that does a course in, it's a master's in writing for young people. There, I can't do this course currently. I don't have the money for it. It's not, doesn't work out logistically at the moment, but I booked it just to go along and with an open mind and see what it was like. So on my desk, I've got the guide, campus guide to go to this place. It's, you know, I've sent for the prospectus of the Royal College of Music in London. Again, just, I'll get the brochure, I'll have a look. It's, I don't know where this is going. I just don't know where it's going.
Are you believing that you need to?
Yes.
Remember, there's a part of you that's like, I should be planning. Because you mentioned that in class of like, so you're playing. And then your mind is like, she's playing. Shouldn't we be planning? Shouldn't we figure out how this play is going?
We really don't know where this is going. This is too much of a
play.
Yeah, this is too much of a magical mystery tour. Shouldn't she know the destination before she starts off?
I imagine
hilarious.
Like the movie Inside Out. Like I almost imagine somebody sleeping at the wheel.
She's not tracking course. She's just not keeping track.
What's happening here? She's playing. We're getting all kinds of creative ideas and things that she wants to do.
Quick, turn the ship around.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, alert. We need to plan. We need to get back to business. We need to
get the schedules out. Quick. Her life has not been Google-called enough.
So what's the worst thing that could happen if you don't plan all of this out right now?
That I don't work on my business and therefore I don't bring more income for my family.
What's the best possible outcome if you don't plan right now?
That I write a novel that is published and that people love, that I get to study singing to a high level and just completely bliss out on it, and that all that amazing joy just attracts incredible clients who love my coaching and copywriting and think it's really cool to work with a person as crazily creative as I am.
Curious, how does that feel when you say that?
It feels a bit daft.
Why is that? Look at me.
You're cracking me up. You're just cracking me up. He's so funny.
Oh my goodness. What was
it? It sounds amazing. It does sound amazing.
It does, and it sounds realistic to me. So your mind is telling you that the most important thing to do is to follow a plan of action for your business so that you can earn income. And your heart is telling you that the most important thing is to continue following your bliss, basically. And that will lead you to all of your dreams. Tell me where I'm wrong.
So say that again. The sensible part of me believes that I just need to work hard in my business.
So that you can earn money.
Yeah, that's completely true. The heart-led part of me believes that all of these facets of my creativity are important and that they can lead in magical ways to where I'm meant to be going, even if I don't understand fully where that is now.
Including money.
It's a crazy ride, Sarah.
It is a crazy ride. And I think that the universe is basically constantly asking, do you trust us at the wheel for this crazy ride?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is there one area that could feel fun? Because what you could do, because there's many different ways that you could do it, but it's tuning into what feels the best for you. For some people, it's almost just like an all-in. I'm going to trust that the net is there, and I'm going to jump, and I'm just going to go all in on all of this and trust the universe completely. But that's if you're at the vibrational place to be able to do that. If you're not, sometimes it's easier to then find where can you trust and play and take that route, and then where can you do planning with a higher vibration so that you're kind of like soothing the part of you that is trying to focus and plan and want to feel worthy, and then building the part of you that wants to lead with your heart and to follow all of your dreams and say, I'm not ignoring you, I'm listening to you, I'm following you, kind of taking this two-step approach. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes going like completely diving, if you're not at the right vibration, can have like a backfiring where people will just freak out and then just want to stop everything. So if I kind of present it to you that way, how does it sound?
So this week I've kind of taken the option of getting into the place of presence. Mm-hmm. And then writing what I thought I should do based on that place of presence. And the options that are coming up are the jumping in completely options. It's like, you know, read books, learn writing, start writing, practice singing, meditate. It's not work on your business. Work on your business is not coming up when I come from that presence place. So, and then occasionally things will come up that are just flashes of inspiration, you know, like contacting that designer and asking her if she wanted to work with me, or in the Martha Beck Facebook group today, I actually wrote, Dear Universe, this is what I'm looking for, and said I'm looking for a coach to work with as part of her team, and just laid out exactly what I wanted, rather than, you know, it was really clear, and this is who I'm looking for. Or you know, going to the networking today just go along, see what it's like, see who you meet. So I am doing some things for my business, for my own business. Mm-hmm. You know, I turned up today for the group call with the new coaching, with the coaching team that I'm part of, and enjoyed that and took part of it. So I am doing some things, but it's not in a grand plan of my marketing takes place on Monday and I do these social media activities and I write my blog on a Friday, and all of the ways that I believe are the proper way to work on your business.
How does it feel when you do think of planning like that?
It feels dull.
So that's just feedback. You know, it almost sounds like the universe is saying, the sense that I get is that the universe knows all of this stuff. It knows the whole pie. Again, it's like you have a pie too and all the slices of your pie. And it's not missing out on any of them. It's trying to help you with a path of least resistance. Mm-hmm. And that's starting with play and what feels enjoyable and your dreams. And then being able to create all of those things from there. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I keep thinking is like, that your book is wanted. It's not just your dream. That it might also be the dream of readers who were asking for that book before it's even been written. Mm-hmm. And to see how can you, have a good time allowing yourself to follow some of these dreams without, and then just noticing if the ego comes in to try and slam the brakes on.
I need to, another little part of this story was, I think it was just before my daughter was born, I took some singing lessons. I took about 4 lessons and I gave up. And I gave up because I didn't think I was worthy. And this has been really good because I'm now on to my 3rd set of 10 of singing lessons. And I haven't given up. I haven't given up on myself. It's gone way past the 3.
I feel like what could help is to almost see how there's other people who have done lots of dreams that almost seem like a single dream that you could do in a lifetime, but they've done many of them. Mm-hmm. And I have a couple of people who are coming to mind. Like there's a great TEDx that mm-hmm. I'll share with you of somebody who's talking about how most of us believe that it takes a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of dedication to do something, but that it's actually doing small bits consistently that can allow you to do the most. Mm-hmm. So in other words, it's almost like rather than thinking of writing a whole book, to think about writing one page and just writing one page every day. And if you mm-hmm. did that for a year, you would have obviously 365 pages. Mm-hmm. So he kind of talked about these tiny steps that will lead to these big things. Mm-hmm. But the big barrier there is like believing, almost going to the end goal in a way that stops us rather than inspires us.
Yeah. What you said there, I just wrote down, more than one dream is allowed.
Oh, yeah. More than one dream is...
More than one dream.
Yes. I wish... I feel like more than one dream should be expected. Not if you allow. I see Mandy unmuting. What does Mandy have to add?
So I was just working on this journal and I wanted to share. It made me think about more, so relating it to more than one dream, more than one dream is expected. I view it that your best self, the best version of you, is the one dream. And there's so many aspects that build the best version of you. So in relating it to Deborah, she has so many interests and so many dreams, and all of those add up to her best self dream.
I also have zero doubt that there's more dreams to come. You've had to grow in the writing and the coaching, and I'm like, for now.
Oh, I honestly thought that was it. I thought that was the list. And, you know, I really did.
You're going to be an author and you're going to be playing and you're going to be like, the ideas are endless. The dreams are endless.
I love that.
Deborah could end up being a chef and, you know, and having multiple businesses. Who knows?
And an opera singer.
Yeah. But it's like,
yes,
following these things. And there is that trust factor in there of you're not being led in the wrong direction by following what feels so good. But yes, there are ways that we can kind of use some strategies if it feels good to you to help you move forward in those things. So like a page a day, that's strategy. But if it feels like ease strategy, then it's working for you. If it's create a business plan where you're, you know, outlining all of your stuff and you're doing all of this and you're like, it feels like dread, it just feels dull. Then that's strategy that's not working for you. So it's the combination of all dreams are allowed. all dreams are created equally and allowed to have a place. And to continue to play and continue to allow the dreams to unfold, knowing that they're taking you to where you are, where you came here to go. It's what you signed up for when you came here, is to allow these dreams to come through you. Then it's kind of finding what strategy then works best for you to move forward with each of those.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because these are not new dreams. You know, I can probably trace every one of them back a really long way. Even the coaching one, I can trace it back a really long way of, you know, reading Dale Carnegie when I was age 8 or something daft like that. You know, these are not new dreams. It's not as though it's something crazy. Even, you know, some people, something crazy would pop up that was completely new. None of these are new.
Yeah. Okay, so here's what I would suggest going forward from here is I'm going to send you that TEDx talk. And then I'm going to also just see if I can find other resources to kind of help support your mindset around being able to do it all and not having it like, not that that means like, oh, now you're working 200 hours a week. But it's just, yeah, it's like you're able to allow it all. You're able to receive it all. And finding some things to support that. And then for you, it's just kind of seeing then how can you follow what your heart is telling you and then noticing when the ego wants to put the brakes on with worthiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think from that, from a business point of view, if all things are possible and if more than one dream or more than one track is allowed, then just because all the marketing people say that it's too much to be a coach and a copywriter, it's just rubbish. Somebody can figure out when looking at a website that somebody does both of those things. People are not...
That's silly. Mm-hmm. Or it's, to me, that sounds like one of two things. That either it's a design puzzle for a website, or you have two different websites, which what's wrong with that? You could be a business owner of two different businesses, so they have two different websites. Mm-hmm. I think either way is fine. It's just more of a question of how you're wanting to present your brand. Mm-hmm. Are you presenting your brand as having these two different services, or are you a business owner with two different businesses? Mm-hmm. And that's not to, you know, it's, I don't see any limitations with that. More so just what feels best to you for how you'd want to present it.
Yeah.
That's my take.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
How does that sit with you?
No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Did it sit well or not so well?
I got stressed about needing to create two websites, so I think I'll just stick with one.
Yeah, so there's your answer. If you don't like it, your answer is, that didn't sit well with me. I would rather have the one. And then all it is just to say, no, it's just clearly defining. Just for instance, like if you are buying a product on a website and there's a women's section and a men's section.
Yes.
I'm going to shop at the women's section because that's where I want to shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I'm landing at your website, there's a coaching section and an editorial section kind of thing, or a copywriting section. Mm-hmm. Which section am I going to shop at? That's kind of what I'm thinking, that you're just making sure that your website is making it clear in that way. And then why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Does that help?
Yes, it does. Press Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good. Okay, guys. Well, I can't wait to continue this conversation next week in class. Any other closing comments, questions, anything? Mandy.
So the journal, I just wanted to share real quick. It's called Start Today.
Oh, cool.
And each page is the same. So there's work at the beginning to put together your dreams. And then each day you write it out as if it happened. So you start with today I'm grateful for and 10 dreams I made happen and the goal I'm going to achieve first.
Very cool.
Yeah. So definitely more than one dream is allowed. And yes. Probably more than 10. New dreams. We have to have a page for new dreams too.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Mandy.
Good stuff. Okay, guys. Well, thanks so much. And then we will connect again on Wednesday.
Thank you, Sarah. That was brilliant.
Have a good
week. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, guys.